Our scripture lesson this morning will be Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. And I'm going to read these two verses, and that will be our text for this morning. I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for the comfort that it brings to the hearts of those that believe it. And this morning, some of the things that I feel like sharing are probably words of comfort, but maybe as much to me as to anyone. And so sometimes the preacher gets up here and preaches a little bit to himself, but hopefully we can all share in this comfort from God's Word. And it's a Psalm of David, and I don't feel like reading it all, but I'm just going to read verses 8 and 9. And it says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." And those two verses are going to be our text tonight, today. Before I arrived, had these verses on my mind and on my heart. And then as different ones described what you had on your heart, I thought, well, isn't it interesting that the words that I read go in line with some of the things that have already been said this morning? We live in difficult times, and certainly if we were to look around for reasons to be discouraged or to be upset, we can find them. You can look at a lot of different places and find a reason to be, hopeless or to be discouraged. But here in this psalm, David talks about the encouragement he gets from the presence of God in his life. And I've often wondered how people kind of navigated through the things of this life without knowing the Lord. It's a terribly lonely place to be if you don't know the Lord. I'm grateful this morning that God is relational, meaning that He takes an interest in us and He abides with us. This world is a cruel place. Sometimes it's a dark place. Sometimes we look around and we wonder why it continues the way that it is. But for the believer, and that mainly is my audience this morning, for those that know the Lord, we can look past the things of this world and we can get encouragement from the divine presence in our life. I learned about the presence of God in my life the day that I got saved. When I was a boy, I knew about God. I went to Sunday school most Sundays. We went a lot of different churches, but just about wherever we lived, we found a church we went to, and I went to Sunday school. So I knew a lot of facts about God. I knew and believed in Jesus well before I was saved. I knew about His miracles and about His teachings. I learned about how that He died for my sins and that He rose again well before I ever was saved. But the day that I got saved was a glorious day in my life. It was the day that finally, it wasn't just knowing about Jesus, I came to know Jesus. And I think there's a pretty significant difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And there wasn't anything special that I did to come to know Jesus. It's just that I came to a realization inside my heart that I needed Him. I suppose before that, I knew about Him and I even loved Him. When I was a kid, I sang "Jesus Loves Me." I love that old song. And I knew that He did, but I didn't really understand what it was to be loved by Christ until I experienced His forgiveness. And that day was a sweet day for me. It wasn't anything that anybody would look on from the outside and say there was something of great consequence that happened. In fact, if there was a video camera on me the night that I got saved, probably no one would have seen much of anything. But what was going on was down inside my heart. And the day that Jesus saved me, I was broken, I was needy, and I called upon God. And my prayer was feeble, but He heard it, and He accepted it, and He gave me peace inside. And since then, I have felt the peace of God that passes all understanding. I felt it. I know that He's my Savior because of what happened to me that night on my bunk bed when He saved me. And I wasn't very old. I was just 8 years old when the Lord saved me. But He's been with me ever since. Now, I tell that. Many of you have heard my testimony. But I want to talk about what David said when he said that he set the Lord before him always. He said in verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. And then he says, because He's at my right hand, certain things are true. I found that kind of interesting because it was like he did something to set God before him. And I think that's interesting language. That God is pretty well set. God's not moving. It's not like David could change the being and the presence of God. But I think it's talking about his focus. And that David was doing what he could to set God before him. So if God's not changing, what David was doing was he was making an effort to make sure that his focus was upon God in his life. And not just intermittently, but he used the word always. That he has set the Lord before his eyes, before his presence, always. And I guess this is something that I want more of in my life, is just a continued effort to put God in my focus and to be my aim every single day. To invoke the presence of God in my life in everything I do. And there's a lot of blessings. Of course, Jesus, when He saves us, He comes into us and He made a promise to us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. So God, when He indwells by His Holy Spirit, every believer, He comes in to take residence and to stay. So God never leaves us. He's always there. So what David must be speaking about is that he was making an effort to recognize the divine presence in his life and to realize that God was there and to make sure that he was his focus every single day. And for us that are living here in this time, we are going through difficult times. Some of us are going through difficult times just as we navigate through this pandemic. But others are also suffering illness, disease, loss, grief, broken relationships, etc. And as we look at this life that we live in, there are so many things that are fighting to bring us down. And I feel like that we are in a spiritual battle and it's raging all around us and in us. And sometimes we almost look for a blame. But I read this morning in Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul was writing and he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That our war is not against mankind, but our fight is a spiritual one. And our armor is spiritual armor. And in that scripture, he says something that really meant a lot to me this morning as I was driving in and meditating upon it. And he said, stand therefore in the power of his might. And he said, when you've done everything you know to do, stand.
Amen.
And to stand, it takes some effort, but yet you realize that just standing is not going to win the battle. But sometimes that's the most that we can get done, is just to stand and then allow God, when we stand in the place that we're in, to help us to fight the battle. To get our feet in the right place. To say, well, I'm not going to abandon my post. I'm not going to flee and give up. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to stand in the place that He wants me to be. And I'm going to fix my eyes and my heart upon the presence of God in my life and fellowship with Him. Now, what does it mean to set the Lord before us? What does it mean to invoke His presence in our life and to make an effort to make sure that He is there and that we know that? You know, I think it means to worship Him. And it might mean to worship Him publicly, meaning to attend the house of God, which I think is a great encouragement to the Christian. I think this year, one of the most disappointing things has been, you know, when we most need God's help, we've seen church attendance go down. Now, I'm thankful that church attendance is coming back. Because I do think that being in the house of God makes a difference in our life as Christians. You know, to young people, I would just encourage you, make a habit out of keeping your kids in church. Because sometimes it takes coming to the congregation. Now, you don't have to worship God in church, but sometimes it means I have to get my feet in the house of God, sitting in the seat in the church pew, listening and singing the songs, praying the prayer, hearing the Word of God, for me to sense the presence of God in my life. And I know that you can worship God in the woods just the same as you can worship Him in a building. But there is something sacred about being in attendance in the house of God when the people of God come together to worship. It invokes the presence of God in your life, where you can say, I know He's near me. I can feel His presence. There are times where I come to the house of God, even as the preacher, as cold as a cucumber. I can't feel the presence of God. I want to be aware that He is near me. And it just takes setting my foot in God's house and being around God's people. Maybe hearing a prayer or a testimony or singing a song. And all of a sudden now, I know that He's there. And that makes a big difference in how we can deal with the storms of life when we know that He's present. Now, He's present. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so David knew that. But setting the Lord before us means that we acknowledge the presence of God. But it's a long way from Sunday to Sunday. And for those of us that participate in Wednesday nights, it's still a long way from Sunday to Wednesday. And so there's a need for private worship in our life and family worship, and that we need to invoke the presence of God in our home. Meaning that sometimes we need to get alone with God and pray to Him and worship Him. Maybe we need to sing. For some of you, that would be silly. But maybe we need to get the Bible out and read it. And read it as a family together. And just acknowledge the fact that we're not alone as we fight through these battles. That we have God in our life. And that He's real, that He cares about us. And that we need to take our perspective and not be so earthy in our thinking, but move our mind to heavenly things. And that brings some strength to us, gives us some inner ability to deal with the things that we've got going on in our life. I was reading in the book of Ephesians where it talks about how that we're to sing hymns and spiritual songs and exhort one another. And that's good in the house of God. And it's something we need to do. But I think he was speaking about daily, as we live our life, to set the Lord always before us, to be mindful of the fact that God is working in our lives every day. We are reminded every day of the material things in life, the earthly things in life, and those things bring us down. So we need to set the Lord before us so that we can think upon Him, meditate upon Him, speak about His ways, bring Him into our home, bring Him into our workplace, bring Him into our school, that we might remember that God never sleeps and He never slumbers and He's always present in our life. And that means regardless of what you have going on, God knows what you have going on and God cares about what you have going on. And for some reason, and it's a wonderful thing, when we as God's people begin to meditate upon God and we begin to pray to God and we begin to recognize His presence in our life, it changes the way that we deal with everything. And so David said in verse 8, he said, "I have set the Lord always before me." And so that word "set" there means he made an effort. That he focused upon God. I sometimes when I'm at work, I'm thankful I work for a Christian man. Sometimes I'll be at work and I've got my mind upon 100 different things that need to be addressed. And sometimes my boss and I, Gary, we'll sit down and he'll say something and it's spiritual. And I think, my mind is so far away from those things. I've got things I've got to deal with here. But I'm thankful that he does that, because sometimes I'll think on that and I'll think, you know, I've gotten myself buried in the weeds here. I need to remember that God's still in control. I need to remember that he's still working. He's still moving. He's still got a plan. It's not just about getting this policy fixed. There are bigger things going on here. And for some reason, that really helps me to remember that and to be daily reminded of those things. So there's just a few things that David says here about the presence of God in his life, and I want us to consider them this morning in verses 8 and 9. The first thing is the presence of God in our life brings us confidence. Now, not confidence in our own abilities, but confidence in His strength. He says in verse 8, he said, "I set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." And we sing a song about not being moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And you know, as God's people, we need to practice and recognize the presence of God in our life so that we'll be able to be stable and have confidence about the things that are coming. If we just kind of went with the flow, I don't know which way we would go. Because it seems like it pushes you one way, and as you turn back, the life pushes you in the other way. You should think this. No, the next day you should think that. This is the right thing. I mean, it'll get you dizzy thinking about the things of this world and how I should react to them. And he said, "Knowing that the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." There are things in our life as Christians that are constant. They are never changing. You know, our God is an anchor. He is the Ancient of Days. He says this world will be folded up as a piece of clothing, but He will remain the same forever. And so as we have the presence of God in our life and we recognize that He's not surprised by any of the things that we see, and that He has control, and that He would never put us through more than what He's willing to take us through, it gives us confidence. It gives us the ability to stand. I just want to encourage us all to be willing to stand on our convictions. If we believe something is true and we know that it's come from God, we can stand on those things no matter what the world throws at us. And that there's confidence in that. Right now, we just don't even know what tomorrow might bring. And we might even get shaky about the things that are coming that we don't even know about. And it feels like today, more than ever, we say we just don't know what the future holds. Well, we've never known what the future holds. We're just maybe more aware of that now. Perhaps that's a good thing. But we do know the One who holds tomorrow. And we do know the One that holds our hand, as the song sings. So if we put our faith in Him and our focus on Him, we have confidence that we can stand regardless of what comes. Listen to me this morning. I'm afraid of more quarantine. Now, I'm kind of joking about that, but in a way, I'm not joking about that. We were talking at home, so we had Lincoln was on staycation, and then on Friday afternoon that ended at 3 o'clock, and so we went out and we grilled hamburgers and hot dogs, and we were celebrating. We were so excited we can go on with normal now, yeah, whatever that means. You know, and so we had a big meal, and Lincoln said, "These are the best hot dogs I've ever tasted." Maybe the hamburger was the best I'd ever tasted. And so we got done with that, and that next morning, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we got a call from the health department. Michaela has been exposed, and she's going to be on quarantine. Well, praise God, our children are still healthy. Michaela's at home and well and playing with Emerald this morning. But hers ends Wednesday. And so we want to say it all is going to be done Wednesday, but we don't really know that, do we? I mean, if I get a call at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, I'm going to be disappointed. And I've thought about that this week. And I thought, you know, I just almost can't, you know, me, Carolee, she's been on quarantine now for about a month. You know, and she just can't hardly take any more of it. I can see it in her eyes. She's just like, a few more days, you know. But we don't know, do we? Maybe it goes on longer. Maybe we're just at the beginning of this thing. She's going to slap me for that one. But somehow we've got to get our mind away from earthly things. And realize that God's in control. That He has a plan. And I know it's difficult and I don't understand the why. But He's going to see us through it. And some of these things are minor inconveniences. Some of these things are major things in our life, but God's going to hold our hand and get us through tomorrow. Because I know that God's in my life and I can focus on Him, I have confidence. Secondly, I have cheer. Struggling with that a little bit today, but maybe I'll get more with the program here. He said in verse 8, he said, "Because at my right hand I shall not be moved." Verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad." Now, you've been here, though, where your heart was sad and you start praying and you start thinking about God and you start acknowledging His presence in your life and you set the Lord before you and you're all of a sudden He changes your perspective and you go from sad to glad and you start maybe your countenance doesn't change so much, but you go from being in a pity party to being grateful. And that can happen just like that. As God changes our heart, maybe He doesn't change our circumstance around us, but He can change us from being downward countenance to being cheerful. And David said, and David went through a lot of hard things in his life. You read about the life of David. He went through some really hard things. And he said, "Because the Lord is before me, I shall not be moved." And he said, "Because of this, my heart is glad." Oh, when I begin thinking about the Lord's creation and how that God made everything with purpose and about how that God made me in His image and about how God saved me and about how God brought blessings in my life with my family, or maybe God provided a good job for me, or maybe God gave me the things that I needed at a time when I didn't know where I was going to get them. We start thinking back about the miracles that God performed in our life when we thought there was no hope, no way forward, and God made a way. When we think about how that God put people in our life that care for us, that love us, and we start thinking about that, we can start counting our blessings. And we can go from sad to glad. My wife will say, "Practice what you preach, brother." Because sometimes I get down. But when I think about God, all of a sudden now I got a lot to be glad about. Because God has been so much better to me than what I deserve. And that's kind of a cliche. I ask some people, I'll say, "How are you?" "A lot better than I deserve." Amen. But really, isn't that true?
Amen.
We are so much better off than what we deserve. No, it's not been perfect. Sometimes it's not even been good. But God's been good to me. And when I start putting His presence in my life and I start setting Him before me, it changes my perspective. I turn from sad to glad. I get cheer. The third thing that He can give us is a song. He said in verse 9, He said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth." What I'm thinking about is a song for the living heart. Sometimes you just need to sing. Maybe your speaking is more of a joyful noise than singing. But sometimes you just need to express how you feel. And David said, "My glory rejoices. I've got a song. Now that I'm thinking about the Lord and I'm meditating upon Him and He's been better to me than I deserve, it gives me a song to sing." You know, as saved people, we have a song that we can sing that the angels don't even know about. It's the song of the redeemed. "Oh, He took me from the depths of my sin and put my feet on solid ground." I can sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." And I know what that means. He's given me a song. The psalm comes to my mind right now. He said, you know, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But I think God gave him the grace to be able to do it. And sometimes we just feel like we're wanderers, we're just pilgrims and strangers on the earth. You know, actually, when we feel that way, we're probably closer to God than when we feel like we're at home. And our home's not here. And oh, that we could sing the songs of Zion, the heavenly songs. We sang this morning, Beulah Land. I thought, how appropriate, because I was thinking about, you know, Beulah Land, the land of marriage. That's about heaven and about the day that we're going to be united with our Lord. That's going to be a really good day, by the way. It's good to sing about that. Not that we forget about the things that we need to do here, but sometimes whenever we fix our eyes upon heaven and sing the Lord's song, we look back upon earth and we care more about it than we did when we were fixed on the earth. It's really kind of a mystery to me. When I'm the most heavenly minded, I'm most conscious of the needs of people here. But when I'm most concerned about here, I tend to neglect some of the things that are my duty. Oh, that I would put the Lord before me always in all the things I have going on in my life, that I may sing the Lord's song. And the last thing he said also, he said, "My flesh also shall rest in hope." You know, I think when we focus upon God, probably the greatest thing that we get in our life is a feeling of hopefulness. And I hope that you don't feel hopeless in your life, because you're not. If you know the Lord, you know, if you don't know the Lord, I would just say His arms are open wide to you. Maybe this morning you say, "Well, I wish I knew God. I wish I could be saved like that. I wish I could have that in my heart." You can. You know, Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. When the Bible says, whosoever will may come, that means you may come. But for those of us that are saved, we're not hopeless at all. In fact, our best days are yet to come. We don't realize that when we put our minds on the things of the earth, but when we set the Lord before us, we're hopeful. And he says, my flesh shall rest in hope. I think maybe he's talking about death there. I don't know. It's kind of how I read it, but I think, well, whether it's by life or by death, either way we have hope. If I live till tomorrow, God's going to be with me. I recognize that when I set the Lord before me. If I live for tomorrow, he's got a plan for me tomorrow. I've got something to look forward to. But if I die tomorrow, and you lay me in the dirt from where I came, I won't be there. My soul will go back to be with God. And I have hope in life. And Christian, we have hope in death. So that means that whether we live or whether we die, our lives are filled with hope. Meaning that we have an assurance of a better end than what we've experienced so far. That is powerful. Because if I set my eyes upon God and I live hopeful, it'll change the way that I approach everything. The world right now is in a place of despair. If you don't believe me, I don't really watch the news. I read the news. I'm just weird like that. I don't watch the TV news. I read the articles, and too many of them. The one thing I'm convinced of, they have convinced me, all of them pretty much feel like that we're in crisis mode right now. And that there's no hope. Well, unless their guy gets elected. But there's no hope. And the world's just gone. Well, I'll just tell you, I read that stuff. But I don't believe that. No, I believe that God's got this thing in control. And I believe that whether I live or whether I die, I've got a better future than what I've experienced so far. And so, some might call you crazy. Some might call you an optimist. But I don't think it's too much pie in the sky if God said it was true. If he said that whether you live or... if you live, I'll be with you. To live is Christ. Paul said to die is gain. That's a pretty good place to be in. Now, I don't see that when I fix my eyes on my circumstances. But when I fix my eyes on God, now I feel that. I sense that. I know that. And so, God gives us some things. And I'm going to be done here. He gives us some confidence. When we focus on God in our life, he gives us some confidence. He allows us to stand. He gives us some cheer. He allows our heart to be glad even when the things going on around us aren't good. He gives us a song of praise that we can sing. And probably lastly, and maybe most powerfully, he gives us hope. So I just want to encourage us to take heart as God's people. It feels like sometimes we're on the brink. But let's set the Lord before us. Let's focus on him. Let's listen to him. Let's obey him and follow him. And we'll be in a good place. I pray God blesses you all. Amen. Why don't we have a song? And as we all stand together and sing and praise the Lord, I just encourage you to follow his spirit. Maybe the Lord is leading you in some way this morning and you need to follow him and be obedient in some way. We want you to feel at liberty this morning.